doro fatto.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we're talking with Chris McQuillan all about the upcoming Toy Man Toy Show a week from today, where you need to go to get all the coolest toys. Also, Larry Quiggins from Bugs Comics and Games will tell us about Free Comic Book Day, plus my interviews with the Sixth Doctor and Perry. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking to you.
If you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the Big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you loyal listeners. Thanks very much for tuning in. If you're hearing us online, streaming us, hello to you out there on the app or on the website. And of course, if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form on whatever platform you may be downloading us, we appreciate you downloading us each week, subscribing. Hopefully you've left us a 5-star review by now. That always helps us in our search engine optimization, among other things, and always makes my executive producer, Joey V, smile when he sees a 5-star review come through. So make sure you do one of those. If for nothing else, help make the man smile. We got a full show tonight. My first guest has been on the show several times. Toy Man Toy Show. If there is a place to go in the bi-state area, I'd say probably more than the bi-state area since people come from Iowa and Kansas for this particular show, Chris McQuillan heads up Toy Man Toy Show going for over 30 years now. It's the toy mecca destination. We've got him on the phone right now. Chris, how are you?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Good. Excited for the week from today when we'll have another Toy Man show, May 7th at the Machinist Hall right there in Bridgeton on the Rock Road and 270. This coming show, it looks like I saw the outcast. The weather is going to look like it's really going to be in our favor, so it should be a very exciting show.
Yes, I mean, you know, no matter if we have ice storms the night before, we have snow the day of, or it's raining, you know, collectors will come out, you know, everything from Star Wars to 50s and 60s toys to movie posters to Funko Pops. I mean, you'll find it at Toy Man. If you can't find it, it doesn't exist. So talk to the vendors. You'll find your specific item you're looking for.
Yeah, because there'll be people like me who are set up there who are just selling things from my personal collection so that I can keep a roof over my head. And then there are other people who actually own brick-and-mortar shops who bring stuff from their places, like Toys of Our Youth. And then there are other people who have online businesses, and they bring their stuff there, their physical collection, to get stuff. So it's really a nice mix of vendors that you're getting from that standpoint.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, unlike eBay and Amazon, there's nothing wrong with buying for online. But you don't know if the items are going to come in your mailbox or what condition it is. So you come to Toy Man, and I can almost guarantee you almost every vendor there has checked the prices already online. And they're selling it below that because they already know people's already looked online. But cash and carry, you'll be able to walk into the show. You'll be able to find your items. And you'll be able to walk out and you know the condition of it. You're not having to wonder if you're going to get it in a week. You don't know if it's going to come in smashed or if it's going to be incomplete.
And unlike eBay, which kind of has bugged me now because they've got the taxes. I just saw, I bought something on eBay last month before, and I noticed, oh, they're applying tax now. Which, again, if you go and you're paying online for stuff, you can expect it, but it's nice to have that cash and carry. If the sticker on the label at Toy Man says this item is $10, $25, you give them $25 cash and you're out.
Oh, yes, and definitely. You know, there's no, oh, it's going to be $27.75. No. And, you know, and if you talk to a vendor, yeah, and I tell you this with any collector, if you're going to walk up to a table, look at all the stuff that they have. Pick one or two items. Don't ask them about a discounted price until you pick up like three or four items on the table and say, hey, you have these three items. What's the price on it? Is that with cash? Oh, I got that right here. And, you know, there's that cash price. Some vendors take Square. Some people have PayPal. Some have Venmo. Nothing wrong with those. But the good thing is that you're not worrying about tax. And if they have a tax, the vendor's going to say, hey, I have a store. It's normally $27.75. Usually it's $27. So it's all about that.
And I will say, too, that's one of the advantages, because if you do, I would tell people, my biggest tip to people coming to Toyman is bring cash. Because if you're going there to look for something and the price on something you might want is $500 and you pull out cash, say, I've got $450. 9 times out of 10, the dealer's going to be like, yeah, sure, that's fine.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, we may not have, and don't get me wrong, we may not have an ATM in the Toyman show, but we have two banks within walking distance of the
right.
of the machine itself. So you literally can go to the parking lot and there's two ATMs and one bank there. There's another bank right across the street. But again, some of the vendors take Square. Some of them take Venmo. Some of them take PayPal. There's always that possibility to get those items. And if not, Toyman's 8 times a year. And you know what? Toys of Our Youth is in St. Charles. Time Warp is in South County. There's a lot of my toy vendors have shops. Not only with Toyman Show, but they have shops otherwise. So if there's something that you need, you could probably go to their shop and get it next week.
Exactly right. And if you're listening right now and you have a question about Toyman, maybe you've never been to Toyman before. If you have a question, you can text us on the KTRS text lines at 84126. I don't think I've ever asked you this before, Chris. And I'm not sure if you, I know you don't do surveys of people leaving or coming or anything like that, but do you have any idea, like, how many people who come to Toyman each time are people who are there for the first time? Because I see a lot of familiar faces, but then I'll run into people. It's like, I don't think I've ever seen you here before. Do you keep track of that? Do you know percentage-wise, how many people at each show are brand new customers?
No, but I do hear that after the show, it's something we've been starting to do since we came back from COVID, you know, BC before COVID versus post-COVID,
right.
Is one thing that we've been doing is asking at the end of Toyman show, show your finds. So at the end of the Toyman show, we'll show pictures of that Sunday show. So Monday or Tuesday, I'll do a post and say, hey, and people are like, I didn't know this show existed.
Huh.
Oh, I didn't know that I could find old movie posters there, because people are showing what they bought at Toyman.
Yeah,
it is still people years, and I promote. Yes, I am the promoter that spends money with Facebook to promote Toyman, and I still hear people like, I've never heard of this show before. Well, where do you buy your stuff? Oh, I buy it online. Really? You need to come to Toyman. When they finally come, they're like, oh my God, where has Toyman been all these years? Same building, same spot, 8 times a year, 33 years.
And the cool thing is, I know, like, Tom Stockman, who's always at Toyman, he sets up there, but he always, I tell Tom, I said, I think you buy as much as you sell here, my friend. But he always is really good about posting pictures of the cool stuff he ends up finding at Toyman. Like you said, movie posters, you know, Hot Wheel cars, there's girl toys there, boy toys, they got Funko Pops, Stompers, action figures, board games. They've guys set up right there. I keep telling my brother he's got to come out there because he's a board game connoisseur, and he's going back and collect him. Like, dude, you got to see this one vendor. He's got shelves and shelves and shelves of board games from the 60s all the way to current times. So it's really, and again, I don't want to turn this into a huge commercial for you because I like talking toys with you, but it really is such a cool place where you can find just about anything related to, tangentially or otherwise, to toys.
Oh, yeah. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we had a contest on saying, what would be, I'm a Toys R Us kid, that kind of stuff. And we actually had a lot of different slogans, and what the winning slogan was, where big kids go to play. Boy, if that's not Toyman right there, 100+ vendors, 200+ tables from toys from the 1920s and 30s to current day in all conditions.
Yeah, and it just, like I said, every time I go, because there are vendors who aren't there all the time, like myself, I set up when I can. But it's always cool to see, because there's new, the vendors who are always there, like Spike from Lost in Space guy from, he always brings new stuff each time. He also, man, I didn't know you had this. And then there'll be new vendors who might be there for their first or second time who I didn't notice the first time there. So there's always a good mix. And even if you go to every show, there's always something there that you may not have seen before.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I will always tell collectors, and not my vendors. The vendors know if something doesn't sell at the January show, they're not going to bring it for the March show because it didn't sell in January. Maybe they brought it for 6 months. But if you saw something at a table and you didn't see it back at their table, talk to the vendor. Ask them, hey, do you still have this? Because most likely they have it. It's sitting at their home. With the show being 8 times a year, they can bring it to the next show or maybe meet at another event or have them come by your residence and pick it up. I have bought stuff. I bought something at last show that I saw when I was going through my own photos that I took to promote the show. And I contacted the vendors like, hey, you still have this? Yeah, I've been carrying it with me for 6 months and I just totally didn't bring it last show. And I'm like, can you bring it to the next show? And I got it. Mint in box Naboo fighter.
Oh.
And I couldn't even find one. It was the Cox one, the gas power one. I couldn't find one on eBay that was in halfway decent shape. I bought one that was like $25 or $35 cheaper than the cheapest one on eBay, and it was mint in a box, never opened.
Now here's the question. Did you customize it, paint it silver, and you're now using it for a Mandalorian fighter?
You know what? I have a 7-foot-long Naboo fighter that's hung in Toys R Us and those kind of toy stores.
Yes.
I'm not gonna change that one, but if I can find a second one, oh, I am so turning it into an N1 starfighter, Mandalorian style, of course.
That was such a cool thing to say. I think all these toys I'm seeing come back now in the new Mandalorian series, it's like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. It's kind of leaning back into the more vintage original series Star Wars stuff and things from the prequel trilogy. It's really neat to see kind of those interests again. I know there's another vendor who sets up there as a friend of mine who, after Mandalorian came out, he brought a bunch of his Star Wars stuff from the prequel trilogy and people started snapping it up from him all of a sudden.
Yeah, and unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know which one I want to use. Unfortunately for me, or fortunately for me, I'm a Star Wars collector. And I've been collecting now mint in box because I have a lot of ones out of box that are complete. So I have them hanging in my basement. Oh, now I'm starting to find these mint in boxes coming out of the woodwork. I'm like, oh, there goes my checkbook. You know, for the people that don't know what a checkbook is, it's a piece of paper that you can buy stuff with.
Well, slow down there. Slow down there. Let's go through that one step. It's all about the Venmo now, buddy.
Yeah, no kidding. Everything's electronic.
But
all,
I know,
like I said, bring cash to the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that, like I said, that's my number one tip for anyone listening. If you're going to go to the Toyman Show, bring cash, because as they say, cash is king. If you're just now tuning in, we're talking to Chris McQuillan, the owner and proprietor of Toyman Toy Show in its 33rd year. Again, the next show will be on May 7th, a week from today, at the Machinist Hall right there at the corner of the St. Charles Rock Road and 270 right there, kind of catty corner, I guess, or next door to the Target that's on the Rock Road. With the stuff you've done, I know we just saw you at Hannibal at the Big River Comic Con. You were set up there and got to have Spencer Wilding sign your ginormous Darth Vader thing. It's so cool to get signed stuff like the Darth Vader thing you had and everything. And I see some of the people bring those stuff to shows bring those things to your show to sell. And so people who might be looking for autograph stuff, there's not as much of that, but I have seen vendors bring that stuff to your show before.
No, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of vendors bringing signed stuff, especially now after COVID. A lot of the celebs are finally coming out. And not to plug another show, there's a show that's going to be the Heroes for Kids down in Perryville, Missouri. And there's going to be another Darth Vader actor showing up. So check out the Toy Man Show. But then there's other shows in the St. Louis and the Missouri area. There's going to be another Vader, and my 4-foot Vader will be going down there along with my Black Series Darth Vader helmet for another Darth Vader actor who has been in several movies, and he'll be doing signings too. So that's definitely something close to my heart, Star Wars, and definitely meeting these actors. It's unbelievable to get saved. But yeah, you can find stuff with COAs at Toy Man. And if you don't have a COA, these vendors have been going to these shows, and you can simply see photos of these shows and with these actors and the vendors getting these things signed. To me, that's just as good as a COA. Who needs a piece of paper that says when you have the vendor getting something signed with the actor right there? That's a COA right there.
Right. Yeah, if you've got the picture of them signing it, that's as good as anything for me.
Yes.
And I know that you've got people who come to the show. You've had artists who were there before. You've had actors and stuntmen and things like that. I can't recall. Do you have anyone coming to this current show on May 7th?
No, so I don't have a person signing at this coming up show. What I've been trying to work on is starting to have more artists and things of that nature. I do have, she is somewhat of a TikTok and Instagram sensation. She's Unlocked Pieces out of Marion, Illinois, and she will be doing live paintings. I actually have two pieces of her custom artwork hanging up in my living room. She's unbelievable. It's Unlocked Pieces under TikTok and Instagram from Marion, Illinois. She's amazing. And so we're going to do it. We are going to, and I can't name any names at this time, but we will start getting back into the celebrity status of getting them to come in. It will be voice actors and things of maybe the Ninja Turtle craze, maybe some Star Wars craze, all the toys that get close to our heart that would be added to my collection, of course, and several collectors coming to the show.
If you get people from Turtles there, I know my executive producer, Joey V, that's his wheelhouse. He loves Turtles, so that'll definitely bring him there. He'll be the first one at the door if you announce that.
We'll talk about this, but under the internet, toymanshow.com, under Facebook, toymanshow. I mean, under Twitter and Instagram, it's Toyman STL. If you can't find Toyman online, you're not looking in the right place. But it's under Toyman STL and Toyman Show. You'll find us in all those places.
And if you're listening to the show after the fact, scroll down to the bottom of the page of the podcast page, and you'll see a link there. We'll put the link to the Facebook page for Toyman so you can follow it there. So if you somehow aren't able to go to this coming show, there's one every other month. You do. Am I correct? 7 or 8 a year?
8 times a year. It's literally between 6 to 8 weeks between events.
And it's always a great time. With Guardians of the Galaxy, the third volume coming out, I'm assuming we'll probably see a lot of Guardians toys. And if you go through your collection, I know we've talked, you're a Star Wars fan and everything. Do you have much in the way of Guardians of the Galaxy collectibles in your personal collection? And what's your favorite prize piece from them?
I am Groot. How else can you not enjoy Groot? No, I have several pieces, but Groot is, when it comes to Guardians of the Galaxy, I do enjoy Groot in any other form of Groot that you have. Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out. Any of those series, the comic books, the toys, figures, they're all out there, and you will find them at Toyman. I'll be surprised if you don't. If you come to Toyman and you can't find a Star Wars, you can't find a Guardians of the Galaxy, you can't find a Spider-Man, you can't find a Batman or Superman, I'll give you your money back. I don't have a problem with that. You can walk around the show, and you'll find that stuff, I will give you your money back. No ifs, ands, or buts.
It's funny, I was talking to a friend of mine who's my age. We were talking last week, and just how, man, when we were in high school even, you know, if I'd have to put my comic book inside of a math book or a physics book, not just to keep the teacher from thinking I wasn't paying attention, but to keep the other kids from giving me trouble for reading a comic book. And now it's so mainstream, it's almost like kids today have to be reading comic books to keep up with it. Have you seen in, let's say, the past 15 years with the explosion of comic book movies and properties, I obviously the attendance is always going because new people are finding out about the show, but have you seen that? Has that helped you think the people coming to the convention, or is it mostly about nostalgia for Toyman? What do you think are the driving factors?
I think people are, for one, financially, people are getting more stable. And you can talk about it on Google and everything, how finance is this, that, and the other, but people are having extra income. They're wanting their childhood back. That's the peace of mind that they had when they were 10 years old, and they want that back at 55 years old or 50 years old or 60 years old. Now they're getting their grandkids. I have my first grandkid will be here come July for my oldest
Congratulations.
Son.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And I am sure that he will have his share of Batman and Star Wars and Guardians of the Galaxy, and maybe throw a few Archies in there with comics in there to boot. So I don't know if he'll ever or if I'll ever see a Superman number one, but hey, you know what? We can dream about it, right?
Exactly. I still have dreams all the time when I'm going into a store. And it's like, oh my gosh, they have all the Empire Strikes Back toys. There's a Star Destroyer. There's the X-Wing fighter from when I was a little kid. And it's so disappointing when I wake up like, dang it, that was just a dream. Those toys are long gone. But if you're have of that same mind and you've had dreams like that, the closest you're going to get is checking out Toyman May 7th at the Machinist Hall, Bridgeton, Missouri, the corner of the St. Charles Rock Road and Highway 270, just next door to the Target that's right there. We mentioned the Facebook and everything like that. Is Facebook the best place to keep up with all your stuff? Do you do much with Instagram? I know I haven't seen you very active on Twitter lately, but Instagram or any other social medias where people should be watching for Toy Man?
Instagram, I've been trying to do more. Twitter, I definitely need to do more. Facebook, we're definitely out there. And Toyman obviously has a little bit of a TikTok following, too. Yes, I'm on TikTok. It's under Toyman STL. But yeah, if whatever social media level you're at, type in Toyman STL or Toyman Show. If you can't find me, I'm not to be found.
There you go. And you'll be able to find him a week from today, starting, I think the early birds start at 8:30 or 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. Early birds from 8 to 9.
8 till 9, and 9 o'clock's general admission. It's ridiculously inexpensive to get in there, too. I think, well, what's the age? Kids, is it 10 and under or free?
Actually, we're at 16 and under is free.
16, my gosh.
Yeah.
16 and under, free to get in. So if you've got one of those angsty utes, as Joe Pesci would say, bring him along, too, to Toy Man. It's never too late, or too early, I should say, to get him involved in the hobby. Chris, as always, I appreciate your time here on a Sunday, and I'll see you next Sunday.
Definitely see you next Sunday.
Thanks. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
There he goes. Chris McQuillan, Toyman STL. Make sure you check him out on Facebook. And, of course, we'll put a link, as I said, if you're listening to this after the fact in the podcast form, scroll down and you'll find him there. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, talk with Larry Quiggins of Bugs Comics and Games, telling you all about Free Comic Book Day this coming Saturday. It's a full weekend if you're a geek. Check it out. We're Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hello, nurses. This is Wacko the Animaniacs, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio. And do you know why? Because you know what's fabu.
We are back. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Central on the Big 550. That's 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific for those of you who might be streaming us on the app. One of our sponsors, comic book store Larry Quiggins from Bugs Comics and Games. Always glad to have him on the show talking comic books. And he's here to tell you all about this upcoming Saturday's Free Comic Book Day. Larry, I think I've lost track. Do you know which Free Comic Book Day this is? It's like the 15th, 20th, 25th annual. How long has it been going on?
Well, it's over 20 years. I know that because I had the first store when the first comic book day happened.
Okay, wow, really? So, that far back?
Yeah, so I know the first couple of years there, the last couple of years at the first store, Free Comic Book Day happened. So I was just thinking about that now, trying to think of what year it was. I'm going to guess it might have been the year 2000.
Okay.
2000, 2001.
That sounds right. How do you say that?
It started to help promote the industry, basically. You know, to get more people to try comics. Of course, that was around the time where comics were starting to wane off a little bit because of the internet and everything, and the video games, internet and all that, and
little did
Marvel
we know
movies and such like that. Yeah, before the movies kind of brought everything back.
Yeah, no kidding. I was thinking the other day, too, we've always had comic book movies. Like, obviously, you know, Michael Keaton will be in this new movie, The Flash, that's coming out here, reprising his Batman role. And, you know, but then they had the Joel Schumacher ones, which almost killed the franchise. We've had, obviously, Christopher Reeve as my favorite Superman still. But I think 2008, when Iron Man came out, that really, and you just may have heard me talking with Chris McQuillan, it really brought comic books into mainstream. It's almost not cool to not read comic books now.
Exactly. Whereas somebody my age, I can remember when there were those who would hide the fact that they read comics. I never was one of those. I never cared what anybody thought. But, you did get ridiculed at times, in the old days. But like I said, it was at the time where they wanted to help promote the industry. And now it's become a holiday.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, it's first Saturday in May, and like this is going to be such a... I'm assuming you're bracing yourself for a busy weekend, because we've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 drops on Friday, the 5th, and then Free Comic Book Day the next day. What a lead-in.
Yeah, I told my wife, is like, well, I have to go see it. I'm going to go see Guardians on Thursday night, one of the early sneaks. And so I have to see it because everybody's going to be walking into the store this week and they're going to want to talk about Guardians. So I've got to know what happened in the movie.
Occupational hazard, am I right?
Exactly. And then, of course, the toy show is the next day.
Yeah, and you'll be there again?
And I'll be there. So I'm always there. And the store always helps promote, and that's going to also help the toy show for Saturday, because everybody's going to come in the store for Free Comic Day on Saturday is going to hear about the toy show that's the next day.
it's like this never-ending cycle. It's amazing. But yeah, if you're a geek in St. Louis, this is going to be a big, big weekend. And with Free Comic Book Day, I know every store has a different setup. Like some stores are like, you know, two free per guest, and then more if you do this, or you can have your pick of anyone you want. And they're kid-friendly ones, too. For people who might be listening who have young children, Free Comic Book Day, the people who do put all this together always have a great option of all these really fun comics for kids six and under, too. So talk a little bit about what Bugs Comics and Games will have going.
Well, I mean, I'm one of the gold sponsors, so I'll have everything that's available. I typically go with 3 to 5. If it's one person, 3 books, but if it's a family, you know, you kind of go off of how many people is there with, you know, showing up and stuff like that. And I'm having a sale as well, because I always like to have a sale going on at the same time. And Spider-Man will be there outside promoting the show at a couple of times during the day. But like you said, there's for all ages in these books. They're color-coded, so they have the comics that are just extreme, especially for the very young age. You got the books that are for teens and older, and then you got the books that are just for adults. And they're very clearly marked, and so it's very easy to know what not let, you know, your child pick up.
Right.
And what you can. I try to keep them separated, and I kind of try to put the more adult ones at another table so the kids don't even really need to go over to that table.
Yeah,
even
last year you did a great job of that.
If a kid picks it up, it's like, oh my God, you know, it's just more adult storyline type
right.
of thing. But there's going to be a lot of good stuff. Marvel, of course, has got a new Spider-Man Venom one. They always do it every Free Comic Day. And it's got an original story in it. And so those are usually sought after. They're promoting the new Uncanny Avengers because they're going to be doing Uncanny Avengers again. DC's got their one called Leading into their big event, Night Terrors, and it's got an original story in it. Which, one of the benefits of having a store, I've actually had a chance to read some of these new comic book days. And
oh, nice.
The story in the Dawn of for DC, the Night Terror story, is a really neat little Damien story.
Oh, cool.
Like for the little kids, the Spider-Man is Amazing Friends. Marvel's got that one for the really young kids, of that based on the show. That's real popular now.
Yeah, and you say Spider-Man has Amazing Friends. I always think of the old one.
Spider-Gwen in it.
Yeah, I always think of the old one with Frank Welker and Dan Gilvezan and Kathy Garver. But yeah, the new one now, it's almost in that Marvel superheroes type of thing with the smaller giant heads. It almost looks like Funko Pops running around.
Right, right. That's real popular with the kids, and they've got a new original comic of that for Free Comic Day. I had one of those for Halloween that I was giving out.
That's right.
I don't know why they don't just put out a regular series of that, because I think it would sell well for the young kids. But
yeah, I'm a little baffled at some of the things, the choices they make. They've got another one I'm very interested in called I Am Stan, which this obviously was the 100th. We just passed Stan's centennial. He would have been 100 this past year. That I'm interested to see that one.
It's I read that one too. It's kind of like a beginning of a biography for Stan.
And
not real sure if it's Stan family. I'm trying to say acknowledged that, you know, it's official,
authorized or whatever.
Authorized. That's the word. Yeah, that's the word. It's authorized from the Stan family, because there's a couple of things in that reading I'm going like, that's not exactly what I've read before, but.
Yeah, one of the great things about the free comic book day too is that if like you know me, Larry, I'm kind of a mainstream Marvel and DC guy, but this is a great time to dip your toe into some of these other ones. Like IDW has a Star Trek comic that's out. You know, Dark Horse has an Umbrella Academy. They've got Red Sonja. Power Ranger Academy, they've got a Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. There's a little something for everybody, and it's really kind of, there's a Star Wars comic from the High Republic era that really allows people to kind of dip their toes into some titles they may not normally explore.
Exactly. Well, if you like the independent stuff, there's a lot of cool independent books, you know,
definitely
new titles. And it's the best, and really for your comic day for independent companies, so smaller companies, it's a good way to get their book out there, get people to try, you know, see what the first issue is going to look like.
Yeah.
To get people to take the chance and pick up a company that they'd never heard of before, type of a thing.
And I'm interested, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's Fright Night. It's got a comic book that's based on the Fright Night movies.
Yes.
Madballs and Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, I'm getting those as an 80s junk. Yeah, I got to grab those.
I mean, there's even a Street Fighter one.
I was curious, there was a Conan book, and I know you and I have talked about this. Now that Marvel no longer has the rights to Conan, he last showed up in the Savage Avengers, written by David Pepos. We talked a bit with him on the air. You were in the studio with us and got to talk to him.
Right.
But now this is the first Conan one, I guess, that's not under the Marvel banner, so I'm intrigued to see what they do with this, too.
I am, too, and what really intrigued me is the fact that it's from Titan.
Yeah.
And I was under the assumption that Robert E. Howard Studios was going to start their own company. I read that at some point a while back, that they were going to start publishing their own comic books based on Robert E. Howard stuff. And now this is coming out from Titan. So I'm wondering, does something change? And then they made a licensing with Titan now or what? But it is from Titan and the book looks really good.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the cover. I don't have your access, so I can't read all these ahead of time. But just looking at the cover,
art,
looks really like classic Conan.
They're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, it looks like classic Conan just based on the cover. I'm excited for that one. And a Red Sonja one as well. Red Sonja comic book as well. But you mentioned Spider-Man and Venom, the Uncanny Avengers, all sorts of cool stuff. So when I'm curious, how do you like plan for this? Because there's all these people are going to be coming in, and at the end, I know, do you have stacks of these left over? Or do you kind of like order based on what the popularity of the monthly books that are normally on your pull list, kind of gauged off that? How do you plan for Free Comic Book Day?
Well, I typically, you got your certain titles, you know, did you know it's going to be popular? Like I said, Spider-Man, the Turtles one's going to be very popular because it's going to be based on the animated Turtle series. So it's all ages. You know, of course, the DC one will be popular. The Uncanny Avengers one will be popular. And then you're going to have the ones who are going to be the non-comic book people that are also going to be popular. Like, there'll be a lot of people picking up Umbrella Academy. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
You're going to have the ones who don't really read comics a lot, but they watch, you know, the streaming stuff, and they're going to go Umbrella Academy, and they're going to pick that up because they're going to want to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to base on that. And then, like I said, then you got some of these smaller companies where you go, oh, okay. You still got to have some. And for somebody like me who's always collected black and white independent comics and things like that, I can tend to overorder on those because I like to promote them.
Right.
So I still have a fair amount from last year's. But, you know, last year was the first year of the new store, the new location, so I wasn't really sure how many to order and this and that. And now I got a little better handle on it, knowing certain ones, but I better make sure I, you know, like going back to that Spider-Man is Amazing Friends, I'm getting a lot of those.
Right, right. And I know I don't want to keep you too much longer, but we did have a text someone called in or texted in on the KTRS text lines. Once again, if you're listening, it's 84126. We've got someone from the 314 area code that said, does Bugs Comics have does Bugs Comics have extended hours on Free Comic Book Day, or is it normal store hours?
It'll be normal store hours. I think we're going to be open 11 to 6, or 11 to 7, excuse me. Normally, it'd be 12 to 7. I think we're going to open up an hour earlier.
Okay. 11 till 7. So for our friend in the 314 area code, 11 till 7. And again, if you're listening online, go to the Facebook page, Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. Give the page a like. That way you'll always get notified whenever Larry posts something new about the hours or about an upcoming event or anything like that as well. Facebook, the best place to find you? Are you other social media handles, or is Facebook the main hub?
I think Facebook right now is the main one, yeah.
Facebook.com/Bugs Comics and Games. Again, if you're listening after the fact, after we're airing live, scroll down to the bottom of the page. We'll have a link to the Facebook page for Bugs Comics and Games there. Make sure, like I said, you give them a like, and that way you'll keep up with all the notifications. Of course, tune in here every Sunday, because whenever something's going on at Bugs, usually Larry's here to talk about it, the official comic book sponsor of Geek to Me Radio, Bugs Comics and Games. Larry, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I guess I'll see you Saturday and Sunday this coming week then.
Sounds good.
Thanks again for being on air. We appreciate it, as always.
All right, thanks, bud. I'll see you.
See you then.
Bye-bye.
Free Comic Book Day, an event not to be missed. And to make sure you got Bugs Comics Games right there on Bryan Road in O'Fallon, Missouri, to check it out. We're going to take our next commercial break. We're going to come right back, having my interviews with the Sixth Doctor and Perry, otherwise known as Colin Baker and Nicola Bryant. We'll have that and more. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back on Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. Every Sunday night, we bring you a brand new show. We've been talking a lot about all the cool geek stuff that's going on this coming weekend, the 5th through the 7th. We got the release of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming out here on Friday. We've got the free comic book day event going on Saturday the 6th, and then Sunday the 7th will be Toy Man Toy Show, and that's a lot going on. While you're running around this weekend here in St. Louis, you might need to fuel up. May I suggest stopping by Steve's Hot Dogs? Steve's Hot Dogs is the home of the official hot dog of St. Louis. If you want some good food, and my gosh, the fries that you get on the side with these are some of the best French fries I've ever had in my life, and I like French fries. Just so you know, I've eaten French fries in nearly every state in this country. Don't want to brag, but I've done it, and Steve's Hot Dogs has some of the best fries to go with some of their specialty dogs. They've got the dogs, the brats, their homemade, house-made chili, gourmet mac and cheese bowls. They've got, obviously, a beer selection and cocktail from locally distilled spirits. It's a great place to just stop in, have something to eat, and maybe you're not going to be out and about. Maybe you're going to want to order in. Sometimes you have those weekends where you just want to kind of stay in and order food. Do it from the website, stevshotdogsstl.com. Order online, and it's only going to be going for the month of May. This is the last month you've got to do it, folks. If you want to save $5 on your order of $25 or more, use the promo code GEEKTOME, GEEKTOME, in order to save $5 on your order of $25 or more. That's going to save you some money if you decide to do one of their hot dog flights. Check that out on the website. Not even kidding. It's amazing. And also, that code will also work with Steve's Meltdowns if you want some of their elevated grilled cheese. Fantastic sandwiches, bakery fresh bread delivered right to your doorstep. Ever-changing menu of grilled cheese creations and collaborations. Just go to the website, stevshotdogsstl.com. Enter that promo code, $5 off your order of $25 or more. Your tummy and your wallet will thank me. With that said, we've got some other interviews I've got to play. If you're a Doctor Who fan, we've got Perry and the Sixth Doctor on deck. We're going to start with Perry herself, Nicola Bryant. Talking with Nicola Bryant right now at Pensacon in Pensacola, Florida. Thanks for making the trip. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. The first American companion, and I know there was talk about you worried about an American accent, but it sounds like you nailed it right out of the gate. Had you done stuff with accents before, before you got this role? Was it something you just, American accents, I can't imagine, are that hard to do?
My roommate in school was from New York. And I was married to an American at the time, so I was actually more used to that sound than the British sound. And for all of of my auditions, I'd chosen to be American for all the drama schools, so I felt pretty comfortable with it, yeah.
It's amazing, because I always picture British actors having an easy time of it, because you see, you know, we've got British actors playing Batman, we've got British actors playing Spider-Man, so I always think British actors, just on the virtue of their accent, they always sound smarter, because they have the accent. But so it's kind of odd that you had the opposite auditioning as an American. Was that just common at the time?
I think it was very much, it was, you know, auditioning is always of its era, and that was what they wanted to do. They wanted, you know, rather than to represent an American with a British actor doing it, that's what they wanted. But they got me.
Were they surprised? Did they find out after the fact? It's like, oh, she's not actually American.
They didn't find out until after I'd left the series.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know you would do interviews in your American accent. I didn't know. I thought that maybe the producers found out at some point.
No, I tried to sort of soften the American, saying, oh, I'm getting so used to being here. So I could do less and less. I found that the situation was awkward. I didn't like being in that situation. And that was because my agent had said he would tell them as soon as I got the job. So I just kept saying, well, when are you going to tell them? When are you going to tell them? And he said, no, keep it up, keep it up. And I was like, okay. So it was a little stressful. But yeah, hey, that's life.
It worked. And you're sitting here between Peter and Colin, the two doctors. You're one of those companions who had that transition, like Jenna Coleman, everything like that. So if you had to pick your favorite just between us, Peter or Colin?
Oh, no, I could never say that. Not with them both, sort of with an inch.
Right.
But yeah, I felt really honored when I found out that there was going to be a regeneration, because I thought, oh, as a fan, yeah, I know that's special. So I was thrilled. And then to actually get to work with Pat Troughton as well,
yes.
I thought, wow, three doctors in my stay. I am truly blessed. Truly blessed by that.
And you also got to work with Frasier. Obviously, he came back as Jamie, so that was so much fun. I always think British people grow up James Bond movies and Doctor Who, that's our thing. Did you grow up watching the show?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Watching the show and wanting to be in it.
You got your wish, that's great.
I did, absolutely. I must have wished really well that day.
And I know there was that horrible, during Caves of Androzini, you got, you know, pneumonia and everything like that. And it's interesting to hear about, because it looks so glamorous, but then you hear about the shoots of the horror stories. Was that the worst? Was there ever, like, some that were close to being that bad, or was that it?
I think that was just a sort of temperature issue going from October, Lanzarote, about 80 degrees, to below freezing the following month in November in Poole in Dorset. So it was that, really.
Yeah.
That's what did it.
And you were actually thinking about becoming a barrister. I just talked to Colin about him studying for law and everything like that. Did you, were there, obviously when you successful actor, were there ever any regrets? Like, I kind of wonder what would have been had I become a barrister.
No, I mean, I didn't want to be a barrister. It was just that the law seemed the only other option for that conglomeration of things. But, oh, there's lots of things. I wouldn't have minded being an architect or, you know. But there was only one thing that drove me, and that's you have to listen to that voice.
Did you and Colin ever get into law on set and look over each other's contracts for each other and things like that?
No. We have debated some legal issues, though, so that's quite a fun. Yeah.
Something behind the scenes you can do to hang out and spend some time just debating the legal issues of the day.
Yeah. We tend not to, though.
And then with The Big Finish, too, it's great that you're able to bring this character back and everything like that. How is it revisiting the character after all this time and finding Perry's voice again? Was it the first ones out the gate? Were they rough, or did you ease right back into it?
Oh, it was easy. It was like I say, it's that comfortable old pair of slippers, as we say. You know, getting into your favorite tracksuit. You know, it was so comfortable. There was no needing to run up or work out or any of that. And I've now been playing Perry for over half of my life. So
yeah, that's amazing to think about.
I don't think I could get rid of her if I wanted to.
And who would want to, right?
Exactly.
All the outfits you had, it was the 80s. I mean, did you keep any outfits? A lot of people say, I kind of want this one. They'll take stuff with them from the set, whether it's a favorite outfit or just because I really like this and you're going to get rid of it anyway. Did you keep any of the outfits?
We weren't allowed to keep them. They all had to go into storage, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But then the storage got, everything came back with mildew on. So there were a couple of things that John asked me to hold on to.
And with the 60th anniversary, I know we got Janet and Sophie came back for the BBC, but the 60th anniversary is coming up.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping we'd get more companions involved. Is there any talk of doing anything revisiting Perry?
No, not at the moment. And I think because now they've done that, we're under different, a management now, so to speak. I think they want to get on and do their own thing, which seems perfectly understandable. And I just can't wait to see what Russell T. Davies is going to do with Doctor Who, because we know we're in excellent hands.
And I tried to make you pick between Peter and Colin earlier. I won't do that again. But have you had a favorite Doctor post Collins that you kind of kept up and watched that you really liked the way their doctor did?
I love them all. I really am happy, but I don't like favorites. I just have really enjoyed what every one of them has brought to the screen, and they've all been fabulous doctors.
Yes.
This has been great again. Pensacola, Florida. Where can people keep up with you online, social media handles? You've got pictures of your dogs sometimes on Twitter, and they're adorable. People need to see dogs on Twitter, so where can people keep up with you online?
Twitter and Instagram. The Nicola Bryant, because there was another one when I went to put my name in, so I thought I'd be the one.
See, if you got that legal degree, you could have sued her out of there and gotten her off. You could be the only one. I appreciate your time so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
There she goes, Nicola Bryant Perry from the Doctor Who series. We're going to take another quick commercial break. We'll come right back, and you'll hear from the Sixth Doctor himself, Colin Baker. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Barry Bostwick, and damn it, Janet, would you just keep listening and come back to Geek to Me Radio, will you?
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you.
The Sixth Doctor himself, Colin Baker. An interview right after I got done speaking with Nicola Bryant. Perry. Now we've got the Sixth Doctor. Here we go.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it.
We're at Pensacon in Pensacola, Florida. We're talking with Colin Baker. First time I've got the chance to meet you. Hopefully you're enjoying Florida.
I'm enjoying Florida very well. I love the way you said Colin Baker, implying it wasn't Tom Baker.
The better of the two Bakers, surely.
Well, I reserve my judgment. You can reserve yours.
And I want to talk to you about, originally I noticed you had studied law. You thought about possibly being a solicitor. What changed that you decided to go full on with acting? What was that? Because it seems like a 360 going from 180 technically. I'm bad with math too, but deciding to study law and then go into acting.
Well, I mean, the truth was I wanted to be an actor in the first place, but I obeyed my father when I was 18, who decided that I should be a lawyer. So he packed me off to work in a lawyer's office, which I did for 5 years and trained, to be a solicitor and get my exams and all that. And then he had a heart attack and died when he was 49. And I thought, is that all there is? Is that what you do all your life? And I thought, well, might as well, if I'm going to head that way, I want to do it doing what I want to do. So I did. I changed and went to drama school, trained there. At least I can read a contract, though.
That's true.
I can read a contract. And became an actor, and I've been very lucky.
And coming back for the 60th, also in The Doctor, you're one of the few Doctors, your exclusive club, that played a different character before you became The Doctor. I know Peter Capaldi famously said he thought his time had passed, he wasn't going to be able to do it. He was happy to do that guest appearance in the Pompeii one. Did you have the same feelings, like, well, I'm a guest role, I'm not going to be able to play The Doctor? Was that a surprise to you?
My agent rang me up, said, you've been offered a small part in Doctor Who. Do you want to do it? And it fitted in perfectly in my schedule that time. And I said, the sad thing is, it means I'll never be the Doctor. So just the same as Peter. And my agent said, well, they're not going to ask you to be Doctor Who, are they? So I thought, yeah, is this what my agent should be saying? But anyway, I did it. And because I did it, I met the producer who liked the cut of my jib, as they say. And we got on very well. And when Peter left, he asked me to take over. So what could have been a disadvantage turned to an advantage, like it did with Mr. Capaldi. He likes to be called Capaldi, not Capaldi.
Right.
You got that wrong.
I did.
Yeah.
It's the last day of the con. I'm going to blame Con Brain for that one. So hopefully if Peter's listening, he'll forgive me.
He won't be listening.
Ouch. Now, see, I appreciate the honesty. We talked about that the other day. You're very honest. I appreciate that. With the stuff you've done coming back for the 60th now, that must have been very exciting to kind of have that reprisal of the character and everything.
Yeah, it was nice to know that, because with the 50th, we weren't really wanted, so we did our own.
Right, yes.
The Five-ish Doctors, which we had great fun doing. So with the 60th coming along, they gave us a little momentary appearance, and they did it rather well. Because my feeling always was, I don't look anything like what I looked like when I was playing the part 40 years ago. So you can't logically have us coming back.
Right.
But that was a very clever way of doing it. And it worked. And it was lovely to work with Jodie, who is one of the nicest people on the planet. And we had a great day.
I loved your tweet when Jodie became the doctor. You said, change, my dear. And just in time, you were immediately supportive. There were a lot of people who weren't, though, which I find odd, because the Whovians are usually such a supportive community. It's very odd that that happened, but I love the fact that you came out of the gate supporting her initially. That was wonderful.
Yeah, the Whovians are a supportive community, but they're also a very protective community for what they see as their program. So for some, the idea of a female doctor was hard to swallow. For me, it was perfectly logical. Why on earth would the Gallifreyans, heaven help them, have a system whereby you don't die, you regenerate into another body, but it changes every single bit of your body except one bit.
I wish you could see this. If it wasn't just radio, that was a great representation.
And it's nonsense. So I was firmly in faith. I've got four daughters and a wife, hard to believe. But, you know, women need a role model as well as men. Although role models don't have to be gender specific,
no.
I don't think.
No.
You know, boys can have Jodie as their role model. Why not?
Yeah. It's the character itself. You admire the bravery, the determination, not the gender. It's that you should be able to see yourself in the character regardless.
Exactly.
And the Big Finish series has given new life to your doctor. You got to do all sorts of things. It's that I think the growth of your doctor specifically has been more in the Big Finish series than any other doctor, even though, you know, Paul's still doing it, Sylvester's still doing it, but you've really gotten to develop your character and get into him. That must be, as an actor and someone who likes his character so much, such a blessing.
Well, I always felt robbed of the progress of my doctor. So Big Finish gave me that opportunity. You can hear all sorts of excitement around, can't you? As people are enjoying themselves all around me. It's awful. I will never stop thanking Big Finish for allowing old Sixy, as I call him, to show his true colours, if that's an appropriate word, given the costume.
Sure.
And I was able to complete the journey. It's a word actors use a lot, which I don't normally like, the journey. But my doctor did have a journey, and he's still having it, thanks to Big Finish.
And I know I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but you mentioned the journey. You've gotten to work with some great actors, Helen Mirren, Anthony Hopkins in your career. When you look back, do you remember a specific actor that you gleaned a bit of information from, that you learned something you've kept with you to this day?
Well, all of those you just mentioned. There was an actor called Richard Easton that I worked with in a series called The Brothers, who I'd seen playing a lot of Shakespearean roles when I was younger. And he was an actor I greatly admired. He was Canadian, now sadly deceased. But he got an Emmy on Broadway when he was in his 80s, which was, I was so pleased for him, because he was such a good actor. So, and he was in the Peter Davison stories, which is not one of mine, sadly.
Right. And if everyone's wanting to keep up with you, obviously you're doing the Big Finish. Do you have any other projects, people? I know you're doing a lot of stage work, too, and everything like that, which is always great to go back to the stage. People want to keep up with you or see something new. Do you have anything coming out soon that people can watch for you?
Not at all, no, nothing. Oh. But there is a film, Christmas at the Holiday Inn, coming up at some point before Christmas. And another one called about Harold Wilson, the name of which I can't remember. But in the main, as I approach the age of 80, which I am in about 3 months, 4 months' time, I'm easing off a little. I can do conventions because you don't have to learn lines anymore.
That's true.
I can sit here. See, I've done all this conversation with you.
No script.
And I have no script. And now, well, you have. You're holding little...
I've got little notes.
You've got little cards.
Right.
But you're a cheat. You're not a pro. A pro wouldn't even be looking at me. They'd be looking over my shoulder at the auto queue.
So I don't even have that working for me. I'm low tech, as you can tell. And speaking of Christmas, you had to play Charles Dickens in 2015, which must have been a thrill playing a historical character like that.
I did, yeah. Oh, well done for knowing that.
And I didn't look at my note cards. I was right there in your eyes.
Yeah, and I've just been playing Sherlock Holmes on stage.
Yes.
So I do some stuff on stage now, and I'm doing it again next year with Terry Malloy, who played Davros,
yes,
as my Watson. So I'll be doing that, yeah.
And, of course, you're at Sawbone Hex on Twitter if people want to follow Colin. Are you active on social media?
I'm not very active, but I read it.
Okay.
And I put the other stuff, like where I'm going to be, where I'm working, what convention I'm doing. On Twitter, yeah. Sawbone Hex.
Perfect. A great pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time. And we'll see you soon, hopefully.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
There he goes, Colin Baker. My thanks to all my guests, Chris McQuillan of Toy Man Toy Show, Larry Quiggins of Bugs Comics and Games, Nicola Bryant, and Colin Baker from Doctor Who. Make sure you check out the City of St. Charles website, Discover St. Charles. That's discoverstcharles.com for an historically good time. Lots of cool things happening there. More to come on that, by the way. Some cool stuff that's going to be coming up in St. Charles. Stay tuned here for more of that as it happens. That's it. Thanks, always, to Joey V for, he's been live streaming this tonight. For those of you on YouTube, not with my face because people were complaining, but at least you got to see a live stream of the YouTube, and I thank him for always making the show sound and look as good as it does. Thank you to all my sponsors, Steve's Hot Dogs, Bugs Comics and Games, and DiscoverStCharles.com. Until next week, my friends.
That's a show!
And Barros, good night.
Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome, bit.ly/geektome.